Everybody, welcome to UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Rodney Nabulsi. I'm joined by Jim Donnan and Dane Young. I'm actually at Classic City Eats. I'm not on the golf course. It's pouring down in Athens right now. Classic City Eats has the golf simulator in the back room. Of course, they have an arcade for the kids. So if you and your significant other want to come out here and play some golf, you can. You can come out to the golf simulator. You and some buddies. But if you have children, you can take them over to the arcade. Everyone gets some good food. Everyone gets some great drinks. And then if you and your spouse or you and your buddies, you want to get four to six guys come in here and play the golf simulator, it's $270 for 4 hours. So during the show, I'm going to try to play it one because I bring nothing to the show. Coach Donnan and Dane absolutely are carry it. I'm just here to lend a pretty face to the show and to pimp our sponsors out. So speaking of our sponsors, a big shout out to Athens Ford for sponsoring our show. Your Pipe is also sponsoring the show, and our friends over at Academia Brewing Company. So shout out to them. Dane, Coach Donnan, it is the week of spring practice this Friday. I mean, it's fall practice. This Friday, Georgia starts practice. We will have a media day via Zoom. We're not going to be in front of the coaches and players at this point. So Friday, we'll get to talk to Kirby Smart and some of his players via Zoom. Coach, I want to go to you first, and then I'll get in touch with Dane. It's that week kind of leading up to Friday. It's August is here. Practice is here. What's the team doing now? What are these kids getting ready to do?
Well, they took a little bit of a different approach to this last 7 or 8 days based on the fact that last year, early in the fall camp, we had a couple of pools that they're not sure what happened on them, but, you know, they gave them a couple of days off right before they started to finish up finals. And, you know, sometimes when you're just going all the way straight day out, day in and day out, and then you take a couple of days off, then when you go back out and go full speed, sometimes that happens. So Coach Smart decided this year to cut down a little bit over the weekend. They had a 7-on-7 and some team drills on Saturday so the recruits could watch them, but basically gave them off Friday, you know, had a short workout Saturday, off Sunday. And yesterday, so today they're going back with the, you know, limited running and some weight training. And then the next 2 days are kind of be just putting a little bit of top on everything, just taking them out there and working them out a little bit. And just a small buildup instead of being off right before you start. So that's a different way to approach it, which I understand why you don't want to go out there and work all summer and then all of a sudden get a couple pulls. And as both of you know, and as our fans know, it's nothing more, you know, costly as far as reps to lose a guy because of, you know, a minor injury like that. So that's a little bit of update on that. But certainly Friday is a big day for so many guys, guys like Jordan Davis that came back, Devontae White, these guys that are senior leaders that are going to be kind of the stalwarts of what we're trying to set up. And, you know, right off the bat, you got that Clemson Tiger team looming, you know, 30 days from now when they start, they'll be lining up over there in Charlotte. So there'll be good intensity, a lot of competition. Everybody knows, Ed, that listens to our show, that Kirby believes in that, our staff believes in it. So the combative nature of practices certainly be there. They have to go a couple days without pads and what they call I don't know the exact name for it, but you're getting used to being out there again, but they do
acclimation.
Acclimation. That's a good word for me. And it's good to do that. And then they'll work hard and then probably have their first scrimmage about, you know, a week from Saturday, not this Saturday, the next Saturday. So it's just, a great time to be a coach or a player at any program in the country because the fruits of your labor start coming to fruition here. You know, you've worked hard, you've built up your background and built up your resume to be ready to show what you got. And I'm sure that we got a lot of people out there that got opinions about what's going to happen to our team, but I feel good about where we are right now as far as the injury situation. You know, a thing like it happened to LSU yesterday. One of their quarterbacks, Brenneman, gets his arm broken in a freak accident. You know, those are things that just concern me as a – and I hate it for the kid, I'm happy for Max Johnson, although I thought Max was probably going to win the job anyhow. But just overall, the time between when you finish your spring semester and then start the actual practice in the summer, just a lot of things can happen. You know, accidents, wrecks, academics, you know, parents having situations where you lose a parent or lose a grandfather, grandmother, just a lot of grief involved in certain things. So I don't want to overplay that, but just the buildup is always a lot better if you have less distractions that you can have. And I feel like for the most part, we haven't had many of those. You know, we had some traumatic things in spring with Pickens going down and Burton getting hurt a little. But overall, I would say our health, our welfare, our sense of direction, all of us have read on your site, and I think you've done a good job of chronologically showing about how much they've worked on leadership and togetherness and connectivity, which, you know, the mind is so important as long as the physical part. So I think Kirby's really worked hard on that, because the last thing I would say, last year was such an unreal year as far as building teamwork. Is hard to do when you can meet as a group and do all that, but all of a sudden you got five different groups meeting on Zoom and doing all that. It's, you know, you don't know your players like you need to. I'm talking about the other players on your team. So I feel good about what he did there. I was very good at understanding the fact that they felt like our players needed to connect a little better because of all the things that happened with COVID. So that's my take on it, except I will say we'll get into the show. I have some concerns, but not near the concerns I had last year, which everybody busted me up the first week when I said, hey, we're going to have some issues on offense. And nobody,
what the hell do you know, coach? I mean, come on.
Believe me, but I mean, once in a while I'm right, but sometimes they're not, I'm wrong. But I will say that I've got less concerns this year than I did last year going in the year, but I do have some that make me stay up a little bit longer at night than I need to.
I want to sink into those football concerns in just a second, but you did mention the COVID stuff. So just as a reality standpoint of people coming back to Athens and campus, there's a bit of a relapse happening right now on campus. It's not a mask mandate, but it is recommended that people wear a mask inside buildings. And so all I'm going to say on this, because I don't want to do another COVID show. We've had a year of COVID shows, yeah, and I don't want to do that. But all I'm going to say on this is that if you want to be able to celebrate football and feel like normal, there are things that everybody needs to do to pitch in for that, because it's a delicate situation, I would say, around college campuses, and administrators deservedly show are taking it very seriously. So that's all I'm going to say on that. If y'all want to say more on it, you can, but just, yeah, I want to get into football and sink into that.
Well, you're exactly football right there, Dane. And I think just because you say it, everybody's, hey, but look, just watch around the country. Look at what's happening. Look in some of these southern states, particularly Florida. You know, we were very fortunate to get last year in, and it got better as the year went on. But, you know, sometimes you got to give up a little bit to get what you want. And we might have to give up having full capacity and all the other things. But, you know, a little bit of football is better than none at all. And, you know, I just think we got to be really careful going forward. I know somebody my age, it's just an issue. I mean, it worries me for my friends, family, everybody. And I think all of us need to do everything we can to protect the people around you and protect just society as a general whole. It's just this variant is a lot worse than the actual COVID was the first time. So just be careful.
Well, it's more. It goes around more. It's not worse from a death and sickness standpoint. It's getting more. It spreads quicker. So
it spreads, but the sickness, they say, is if you haven't been vaccinated, is worse. So
right, yeah, exactly. But they, again, that's open to everybody, and everybody needs to do that. It's just I'm tired of talking about it because everyone has the ability to go do it, so they need to. And if they don't, then it's on them.
I mainly mention that because when Coach is talking about the things that players have had to overcome, that's still one of those things that they're having to overcome, especially as classes and things like that.
They don't have to overcome it. Go get the shot and they're done. This is stupid to
keep. And Georgia's done better in a lot of regard to that, but some other schools are not doing as well in that regard.
Very true, and that's going to come and bite them in the ass. I guarantee it.
I saw where Michigan and Michigan State have a mandate that the whole campus and the faculty are going to have to be vaccinated, and you can see a lot of that. You know, some of these private schools are like that already, like Vanderbilt. But
I definitely see that coming up. Coach, you mentioned you had some concerns, and you had beforehand, before we start talking about what we want to talk about on the show, I was going to ask you, what are some of your concerns? What's some of the things you're excited about? You mentioned, not having as many big concerns as you did last year, but I know there are some out there. For me, I'm looking at the secondary. I'm looking at the not really concerned about the offensive line, more curious about the offensive line. Give me your concerns, because last year you're right. You said, hey, we're going to struggle a little bit on offense. And everyone was thinking, oh, you can just plug and drop this guy in. Or you can plug and play here, plug and play here. And it didn't quite work out that way. You know, losing a couple of first-round offensive tackles was tough. So give us your thoughts and concerns, your overall view.
I think the other thing that hurts you offensively is just not being able to, up in the air as far as practicing all spring, summer workouts, all that stuff. You just didn't have the cohesiveness, plus the fact that, revolving door quarterback, starting with Jamie all the way through. So, but getting back to my concerns, first of all, secondary wise, one of the things I like, and Brent Rollins keeps up with all these stats as far as snaps and all, 2,700 snaps we lost in the secondary.
Wow.
Guys are going different places, like Stevenson left, and then we got these five guys going to the pros. So there's not a lot of people back there that have played, particularly on the front end, corner, star, nickel, dime guy, two safeties played a lot. So I think even though we got some significant players there that have the ability, it's going to be a supreme test going against the Clemson Tigers' vaunted offense in that first game. So that kind of cohesiveness that you need to go with your front. And we talked about it when I first started doing the show. Our package the first year was very limited when Kirby came in, because they couldn't play the man fronts, man coverage to go with their fronts that they use on all the different things in 2016. But 17, they got a lot better at it, and they were a lot more multiple on defense, and that you saw the results. This year, we got the ability to play back there some of these coverages, but the experience is not there. So that would be the number one issue for me, and the question marks: can Smith plug in and play our coverages? He played well at West Virginia. Can he beat out Breeny? We'll have to see. We know Kendrick probably going to be able to play corner. Who's going to be the other one? It's going to be Kimber. Is it going to be Speed? Is it going to be Ringo? All three of these guys are really good players, and you got Green coming up too. Offensively, I mean, one more thing on defense, I think, is just continued pressure on the quarterback. If we can continue to pressure the quarterback, which goes with playing some man coverage, I think that's going to really help our back end, because you don't have to cover them as long when you get that. So offensively, it's just always want to be a doctor, but I didn't have enough patience. I'm telling you right now, we have got to be a patient football team, as far as everybody wants to air it out, and I do too. I love to throw the ball, but we have such a really good running game, and I don't know that lining up and playing quick tempo with our defense right now, we probably need to help our defense a little bit get established. So I hope that we are patient with our passing game and really focus on having a little more balance early on, because our running game is a comfort zone. It's like a little baby blanket for you with those quarterbacks we got.
An effective baby blanket.
That should help us, and it helps an offensive line that struggles in pass protection. There's no question about that. No question that pass protection is something that we have had issues with, because we are – for a long time been a run first team, but we're getting better at it. But the RPOs, the play action, all that stuff we talked about, that'll help our line. So I think being patient on offense is one thing. And then making sure who we got out there, we talk about, and you guys do a good job of showing about all our depth and projecting our lineups and all that. But and I'm a great believer in substituting and playing fresh guys, but you got to be careful in trying to be to keep everybody and give them reps and everything, that you don't have a go-to lineup that in the clutch is going to be there. That's your best players, and that's a cohesive unit. So as quickly as possible, we need to establish the guys that can win the big games and not worry about, you know, how many reps so-and-so's getting and all that as far as game reps. And, you know, say, well, we had 27 guys play on offense. You know, I don't know that that's the answer right now. Even though we got a lot of good players and very competitive, I want to see the best players get the ball and the best players in the clutch situation be the guy we go to. I don't want to throw the ball to a guy that's only had 3 attempts thrown to him all year. And I'm not saying that's going to happen negatively. I'm just saying from my standpoint, I hope that as soon as we can, we establish the top guys instead of saying, you know, going through, well, we got these guys, we got these guys, we got these guys. I mean, and we got 5 running backs. They're all very capable, but same thing at tight end. And some of these backup receivers are really good, but you can't beat game reps and being in there and knowing what to do and everything. And let's just chill a little bit on playing too many guys.
For Georgia's sake, they need to be able to play with more footballs with the people that you're talking about, but they're not going to change the rules that way. There's going to be one football in the field. And so I think one of the areas of concern, at least at the beginning of the season, is wide receiver because of the health concerns of some of the guys coming off pretty serious injuries. Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint seems to be fine. Dominic Blaylock, not quite there yet. Obviously, we know George Pickens is not there. A specific area of concern, though, that I've identified along with some of the stuff we've done with Brent Rollins and our countdown of Georgia's highest graded players, according to Pro Football Focus, Georgia was dreadful last season in running backs helping in pass protection. I mean, the grade was in the 20s as a whole team. So that's a specific thing that Georgia can improve on is running backs helping in pass blocking. And so, Coach, I think that's another reason for what you're saying is you might not want to air it out a ton because your running backs are going to be better carrying the ball than they are defending other defensive players from hitting JT Daniels.
Yeah, I think that's a good stat in a lot of ways, but it's skewed. I don't want to disagree, but I will say this from a coaching standpoint, it's skewed a little bit because, you know, more than likely when a running back is blocking in a pass protection situation, it's because the other team and everybody in the stadium knows that you're throwing the ball. So they're coming in there. You don't have the effect of is it a run or a pass. So you're in most of our passes where the running back's involved is a long yardage situation. So you don't have the chance to be as successful in that because you're having to block a guy that's not worried about the run at all. So I think you make a good point, but I make the point that I think the fact that our running game will help that and the fact that we might not run quite as many show passes where that means where you just back up and everybody knows the lineman back up where we have more play action, more moving the pocket a little bit to help JT a little bit where he can not just stand in the pocket, but semi roll and things like that. And if you watch our red zone stuff, cut ups, he's very good at taking the ball and sprinting out and throwing the quick ball to Kiaris in the slot or hitting the outside guy on the comeback. He throws the ball extremely well on the run. When it's a situation where he's just taking the ball and moving. Now, when he has to scramble and do that, that's not one of his fortes. But I feel good about our running backs in protection maybe just because we won't be in those situations as much, I don't think, where we're third and long.
I got it, Coach. And I like your point about being able to pick out who's the guy, who's the man. Yeah, you have 5 running backs, but are you switching them out every play and maybe no one gets into a rhythm? And, yeah, you're keeping everybody happy, but sometimes you just want to see one of those guys carry it multiple times in a row and bust them up. I think it's bigger when you talk about the wide receivers. You know, everyone knew the ball was going to George Pickens, but nobody could stop it. You know, you kind of hope to have that guy out there. Yes, there's 13 different guys they can throw the ball to, but how many of them are George? You know, and if Jermaine Burton's the guy and he stands out, or it's Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint, I love it. I'll have a question about that in just a second, but I do want to mention our our number one, and that's our friends over at Athens Ford. They take care of us. They sponsor this podcast. They sponsor our watch along show, which you too can sponsor. And they also sponsor our website. So you go to ujsports.com and you like what we have over there. You know, Athens Ford's the one that's making that possible. So big shout out to them. They take care of you even better than they take care of us. So when you need a new or a pre-owned vehicle, go out to Athens Ford. You're going to get a lifetime powertrain warranty on any of their new vehicles and the vast majority of their pre-owned vehicles. So you're like, hey, I need to get a pre-owned vehicle. I want to put as much money into a new one. You know, I listen to Clark Howard. I'm not going to buy a new car. I'm going to get one with, let somebody else take the depreciation on it. If you go out to Athens Ford, you can get one with a lifetime powertrain warranty on it. And if you get any of the Ford certified pre-owned ones, those have been, they've gone through 172-point inspection. They're brand new. That's what I did. Or they feel brand new, I should say. So when you get a chance, check out our friends at Athens Ford out on the Atlanta Highway, really close to Academia Brewing Company. We'll talk about them later in the show. Coach, I want to flesh out this idea of being the man. I am notorious for saying, oh, well, yeah, Georgia threw for 400 yards, but they didn't throw to this guy. What about this guy? Or they didn't throw this tight end or something like that. And you have pounded into my head. It's taken a long time. If you want to see those other guys, you know, the Arian Smiths, the Dejon Edwards, you know, the guys a little bit further down the depth chart, if you will, maybe, you know, the third, fourth option in the passing game or the running game, or the tight ends, as I always complain about, get more first downs. How do you see this team getting more first downs this year? Is it going to be just because they're comfortable running the ball, like you said, or are we going to see any overall changes to the scheme that Georgia runs?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty all-encompassing question there, but I do feel
like – I got an hour.
I do feel like that in the case of Arian Smith, he was hurt last year. He didn't get to – you know, he missed all of fall camp with his knee. And, you know, you got guys that – like Kendall Milton had a pulled hamstring and missed a lot. So, but getting back real quick, I don't want anybody to say that I'm against subbing and playing a lot of guys, but I do just feel like that if you look at the really good teams and the really good teams I've coached and the really good teams around the country on offense, you have a pretty solid group of guys that get most of the playing time and you don't sub a lot. You know, certainly running back and receiver guys, you do that, but your O-line's pretty consistent, quarterback for sure. And, you know, at tight end, we've got some really good options there. So, but as far as the passing game, a lot of it, as everybody knows, is based on what the coverage is and where the reads take you. But, you know, I've always had some plays where, like, I would send the play into to the quarterback after a timeout or something. I said, throw the ball to Hines. He says, what if he's covered? I said, throw the ball to Hines. What if I get pressure? I said, throw the ball to Hines. No matter what, you're going to throw that ball to him. And now that's not many times. If when the band's playing and you got to have it, even if they got everybody over there on him, you know, most of the time you're going to try to go to that guy. And we saw that when Pickens was playing, our team was better because we could do that. You know, he's hard to cover the guy. Just, you know, just because they put two guys over there doesn't mean they can still cover him. So I think from my standpoint, it's just going to be getting the best players the ball.
Yeah.
And finding the ways to do that. We got a really brilliant coach in Todd Monken that has a good game awareness of how to do that based on what the defense is doing. We got ways to line people up and cover them up as far as one maybe might not be the outside the guy. We saw Pickens go in the slot against Cincinnati and go over the middle and catch a touchdown pass. So it just depends on what the defense is playing and all that. But overall, I would say that we're going in with a lot better package this year. Experience, coaching, continuity together, having been – it's nothing like going through 12 – we had 11 games because of we have 10 or 11 games. I don't count. We had that Vanderbilt game called off, so that was 9. So we had 10 games. So it's nothing like going through the game readiness together, the halftime adjustments, the communication on the sideline between the coach and the quarterback, all that stuff is just invaluable going into the next year. And as I've said many times on the show, once you get in a game, your quarterback is your best friend, because you've met with him and you've talked to him, and what does he feel good about? I mean, it doesn't matter what I like sometimes as much as what he feels good about. And you've got that continuity with JT that they can communicate and say, hey, coach, we're just not real good with this right now. I don't feel comfortable with it. So as compared to, hey, coach, we can really get after number 36 over there. We can let's go with him or whatever it might be. But that kind of communication is just unreal. I mean, that's what you want. And plus the other thing about McGee and Luke together. Hey, what can you do up here? We're having trouble getting the ball to the edge. How can we help you? Can we get another back in there to seal the edge? Can we use a tight end to come across there? Or Luke saying, look, we can handle this guy inside. We don't need any help. Let's go with this. And so all those things are just really good. And then you add to the defense a guy like Will Muschamp, who's been to a lot of different venues in this league and has tremendous experience. You add that to go with Kirby and Lanning and Schumann. And, that's just going to be really good. Of knowing, I don't know what the analyst's role can be during the game as far as, you know, I'm sure they can talk to them, but they can't maybe be on a sideline talking to the players. But that's going to be another eye in the sky for us to help us during the game. So I just think our whole group together is going to be a lot better ready to get to what we need to get to. And the last thing I would say is one thing I always talked about our coaches and self-analyzation and looking at stuff is, look, there's a lot of people can tell you on Sunday morning or Saturday night after the game when they're calling into these shows what you should have done. But I want to know why in the heck you didn't get to this quicker. Why didn't you do this? Or, hey, we got to this really good. That was a quick move there. So what are you guys doing up there? Are you eating hot dog or what are you doing? Let's get to it. And we got to get to it quickly. And that's your job as the head coach. And that's your job as a coordinator to make those, and not necessarily adjustments, but just make those calls when the band's playing that really are important. And I can tell you this. There's a lot of difference between making a call playing Florida or Tennessee or Alabama than there is for like Brian Harsin now coming in after coaching out at Boise State. It's just different.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you, the pressure is a pressure cooker. And that's where we got a really good play caller in Coach Munkin. And same thing with Coach Lanning. He's had 2 years now with Kirby helping him and working together. I think our defense will be really cohesive this year.
Coach, you mentioned that continuity at quarterback, and obviously in comparison to last season when it was kind of a last-second decision with Newman and then Mathis and then Stetson Bennett coming in to help win the game against Arkansas and then going from there. As a coach, how do you determine the amount of authority the quarterback has to adjust things at the line of scrimmage based on what they see? Is that something that has to develop into the season, or is that something that JT Daniels might have that authority immediately?
Well, there's a fine line between that, because all coaches would like to have the perfect play every time, you know, as far as if they're in this, we need to get to this, or if they do this, we need that's awesome if you can do it. But at the same time, you lose your ability to attack. If you're so worried about what the other team's going to do, you lose your ability to get out there and get after their ass, so to speak. It's like a baseball player that's going up there and he's always taking pitches. He's waiting for one that he wants. You know, hey, I like a guy to go out there and jack it, man. I want to see him go for it. And the same thing's true here with this. I like a quarterback to be able to make those calls. But the coach as the play caller can kind of institute that with some several different ways. One, he can just say, hey, we're just going to run this play come heck or high water. And it's going to be a quick count call. You're just going to go up there, and I really feel good about this call. The second way would be an either or, where you could go up there and run a running play to the inside or the outside or the one side or the other, or you could have an RPO where it could be a run or a pass. That would be the second way. And then the third way would be, would just be check with me when you just go to the line and the quarterback, as you said, has that ability to go to whatever he's been coached to do based on what they're lined up in. He doesn't have a run or pass in his mind. He's just going to go up there and do what the coach has told him. So you got a lot of different ways to actually attack people. And answering your question, finally, JT is among the best that you could have as far as being a guy that you can make those kind of decisions, kind of like Jake Fromm was awesome at it. I mean, he was a quarterback that could make all those calls and get you. I guess the other way would be to have a play that you had that didn't look good and you check to another one, you know, and get out of a bad play. That would be the other way. But I mean, if you're going up there looking to get out of a play, how can you lose your initiative? I just like the fact that, hey, let's go get them.
Were you that type of quarterback coach when you were the ACC player of the year?
I tell you what I was scared that we were going to punt on third down. We used to be
full of crap.
We used to get inside the 40. I used to tell our guys, I said, hey, if we don't make this on third down, get in the huddle quick. And by the time McDuffie gets out here, he was our snapper. I said, by the time he gets out here, we can run the play on fourth down. So I was good at getting that play called. And back in my days, our coach let me call the plays. And as long as they're mostly runs, he was pretty good about letting me call them. But I think it certainly helped me in coaching to have that benefit of calling plays. And he was good about training me. You know, during this week, we went through game after game and what are we going to do here and what are we going to do here and all that. And that's what I try to do with my quarterbacks is estimate the defensive intent. What can they do from how they line up? Have a couple indicators as far as what you like to tell you what they're in. Is it an odd or even front? You know, who's a good giveaway to what they try to disguise and things like that. Over and over, preparation really makes a lot of difference on Saturday.
Yeah. Dane, I'm going to have you grab some of the questions out of the chat there. But before we do that, I'm going to take a swing with this thing, let folks know that we're at Classic City Eats in Watkinsville.
You use a baseball grip?
I don't know. Let's see what we've got here.
Coach, you have to whisper when he's there goes the shot. Looks like it's curling back left side of the fairway.
Not exactly.
We're back. I can't actually see where the ball went on there.
You can't see that. It was 415 yards.
Oh, never. It says no ball detected. It was so bad it did not pick up the shot.
I hit that really low.
You're getting a mug in there. You got to get it off the ground, man.
I can't with this. I know.
Did you tee it up?
No. Oh, wait. Hang on. Anyway, I do want to mention our friends over at
people are tuning into the Golf Channel right now, not to you, not to us.
I want to mention our friends over at Classic City Eats. Our friends over at Academia Brewing Company. They have a new beer out, and I want to mention it, and then I'm going to take my second shot here.
Shot of what?
Third. They have it's a third member of their sour syllabus called, and their line called the County Fair Shakeup. This is a lactose kettle sour and is bursting with elegant flavors and aromas of strawberry and lemon zest that are guaranteed to refresh on these hot summer days. So they've had three in their County Fair Shakeup, and this one is the one with the strawberry and lemon zest in it. They've got like four or five other new beers out there. You've got to go out to Academia Brewing Company, give it a shot, see what their meals are fantastic. The Brussels sprouts. I never liked Brussels sprouts until I had them out there. The flatbreads are great. The tripalata sandwich, amazing. But then they get all these fantastic beers. They have the beer garden for when the weather gets a little bit cooler, you'll enjoy that. Or if you're in out there in the evening, it's fantastic. And then, of course, you know, you have these chef-inspired dishes. You know, they have an actual chef out there. So hit them up when you get a chance.
I just love the space that they have. You know, my family of four, we like to go somewhere we can kind of like spread out a little bit and have some separation from folks. And you can pack that place and it's still like not crazy acoustics or anything. It's just a really good spot.
Yeah, if you're not in the Athens area, but you want to get something good to eat, swing by our friends or just call up our friends over at Your Pie. They have the new, because you were talking about a family, made me think of it. They have the new 14-inch pie out there. It's online only, so you use the app and you get the points when you do that. But you can order, the bigger pizzas. Because normally when you go to Your Pie, you get the I call them personal size, but I always hated those little pans or personal pan pizzas that were tiny. I'm a big boy. I want a big ass pizza. So you get one that fills you up for you. But what if, you're trying to do a family and you get 5-6 people and you're like, well, I don't want to go through and order each one individually, although you should, but let's just say you're in a hurry. You can now get their new large 14-inch pizzas. They're monsters. They're cheap and you get them with all the toppings on it. You can still do all the customization that you want. Just do it on your phone, on the Your Pie app. Try that. You'll love it. And it's as good as you could ever want. Plus, they also have gelato, and they have sandwiches, and they have salads and custom pasta. Ton of different stuff. If you have a bunch of different people who are like, well, I don't want pizza. I want a sandwich. Got you covered. Well, I want a salad. Got you covered. I want pasta. Got you covered. So check out our friends at Your Pie. Tons of locations. They're opening up new ones all the time. I think there's one now in Loganville. So when you get a chance, swing by any of the Your Pie pizza places.
I have this question. Yeah, this question, Coach, this is right at your special team's heart here. Ray over on YouTube asks, what competition will Georgia have this year for kick return guys and punt return guys?
Well, right off the bat, we got a guy that was right among the – well, I think Karis led the conference in average yards per punt return and didn't qualify, didn't have enough kick returns to be one of the guys on kickoff return. So I would say Karis will be the punt returner with Blaylock right there, who was the starter till he hurt his knee. And they're both really good at not only returning, but they're golden in catching the ball. There's nothing – I was talking to Karis over there the other day, and I said, one of the things I like about you, I said, you won't let that ball bounce. I mean, nothing chaps my ass more than see a ball rolling down the field because the guy wouldn't fair catch it. Give the other team a couple first downs, letting the ball roll. So he's good at that. I think those two guys will be the punt returners. And then, we got an unbelievable amount of guys back there. Zamir White can return kickoffs along with Milton and also Cook to go with Kara. So we'll have hope we don't have to do anything but do a lot of kickoff coverage and not a lot of kickoff returns this year.
That's a good point. That's always a good problem to have. I don't know, Coach, if you saw the comments that Kirk Herbstreit made about tradition and how he's afraid that all the changes in college football, I guess with the conference realignments and the NIL, and maybe it wasn't about NIL, but he's just afraid that some of the tradition is lost in college football. I only give that preface because Brian Wilkerson asked what your take would be on those comments. And I don't know if you saw them in full, so I may have just set you up to fail.
I had a chance to listen to that and read it too. And I feel like, all of us are traditionalists. And we like the big games, the traditional battles and all like that. But also, change kind of keeps that from being a reality sometime. And you got to give up a little bit to get where you want to go. So as much as, we can talk about it and worry about it, the reality is somehow, hopefully we can keep the Auburn game. That's the one, it's been played forever. And I think I've seen a lot of different models. And one of them is that every team would keep that traditional game among the fact that they would be within their schedule too. So we'll just have to see that. But I forgot what the guy's name was that answered your question, but it's certainly, all of us are concerned about that. But I am elated about the fact that schedule-wise, a lot of our fans will be able to go to Norman, Oklahoma, to Dallas, to Austin, Texas. They could go to Dallas, Texas, too, and see the OU-Texas game if they get a ticket. But, I just think that the national attention with the Alabama-Oklahoma game, Texas-Georgia game, all those are just going to help our league and help our recruiting. I mean, what you lose maybe a little bit in tradition, the newness of it. I mean, Alexander Graham Bell had a telephone, but now I got an iPhone. So, hey, that's just the way it is.
John Lang asked, when does practice start? That is Friday, August 6th. So by the time that some people listen to this, practice will have started. If you're on the ball, it's still going to be a couple days. Johnny Lester asked, my question for Coach Donnan is, how bad can you still beat Kirby at tennis?
Tennis?
Yeah.
You know, Kirby is more of a pickleball player. And, you know, his wife is very good. Mary Beth's a very good tennis player. But I would say that's one sport that I could probably beat Kirby in right now, just because he doesn't play, not because I'm that good. But, you know, I really haven't – I don't know that I've ever even hit a tennis ball with Kirby. I've watched his son, Weston. I don't know if I could beat Weston now. He's a good young player. He's getting taking a lot of lessons and playing hard. So, but, you know, I would say most people that know me really don't want any try to get too much of me on the tennis court at my age. If they're my age now, underage, probably they could get after me.
Robert Barnes asked, does the 70-player travel team rule come into play against Clemson? And Robert adds that he does not like that rule.
Yeah, I'm just not sure about that when it's a non-conference game. I don't know what the rule's going to be from that standpoint. I wish I could ask you, Rob, answer that. I'll try to get the answer before we get off the air. But as far as not liking it, sure, I tell you where it's tough is when you play a conference game and you go play a team and they dress out 105 and you got 70 there. You like, if you're a bad team, you like it because then they're going to play a lot of their guys that can't play if they're beating you badly. But, you know, depth wise, it helps you to have that. I mean, I don't know. They're always trying to save money and, that's why they're doing it. They say, hey, you don't want to take any more than you have to. But
why couldn't they limit the participation to 70 players on the home team?
Well, I would hate that to happen as far as making it equal, because one of the big thrills to so many of these kids that played for me that were walk-on were having a chance to dress out in Sanford Stadium and go down there and maybe be on a kickoff team one time or tell their kids, you know, 20 years from now, hey, I played in Sanford Stadium and all, because they earned that right.
Oh, I agree.
Out there and playing on the scout teams and doing all the stuff that they have to do. We got some really good kids over there that are never going to play hardly any, but they come out there every day and bust their butt and run the scout team. And they just want to be a Georgia on the team. And I'm not hokey about that. I think that's great. You got to have good morale on your team, and having guys like that really help our team be better. They do a good job with it. Kirby is very selective in who he lets come out as far as preferred walk-ons, and these guys that come out are very intent and they do a good job. So I would like to keep that where a guy could play and dress, even if you could just get to dress out. You know, Go down there and walk through the dog walk or whatever it might be. I mean, that's just a lifetime experience.
One of my best friends is a former walk-on guy, and that photo of him in his jersey on the field is cherished to him because he spent a lot of days in those practices helping out the guys that ended up starting, and for him to be able to walk on the field in that jersey.
Arguing against walk-ons. I'm saying if you're only allowed 70 and the other team's allowed 105, you're already playing in their stadium. That seems stupid. The things to me is if you have the money, especially now that these teams are getting $45 million from the SEC in their TV contracts, send all 105 of them. Send all 80, you know, your 85 scholarship guys.
I thought your question was why not limit the home team?
What I'm saying. Well, it is. I mean, I'm like, if you're trying to make it parity, you're already at a disadvantage because you're playing in a loud stadium and now they have 105, you're 70. Maybe it doesn't matter the conference game, but to me, the answer would be, why not say, look, we want to bring all 85 of our guys. If it's just a money issue, they're building these palaces, you know, for these players. Ship the whole team. Take all 105 guys.
Yeah, that's the solution. 35 guys with the money that these programs are bringing in. It ain't like travel for that's an issue, if we're being honest.
We're not. They always, it's funny how they say they don't have money for this, money for that, but then the SEC strokes them a $45 million check for their program. So, and now we're talking maybe 70. You know, I've heard some crazy numbers with Texas and Oklahoma joining, but no, I'm big on the walk-ons. I've done every time I'm out there, I'm trying to get as many pictures, especially in the third, fourth quarter. If it's a non-conference game, a lot of the photographers on the sideline, well, you've got your pictures of JT Daniels, you've got your pictures of Jermaine Burton. You know, they're just kind of sitting there shooting the breeze. I'm working five times faster because I'm trying to get every new offensive lineman that's gotten into the game, get a picture of him coming off the ball, get a picture of him in his uniform, get a picture of him lined up. Hey, look, there's a wide receiver in there. There's a new fullback, there, a new running back. Trying to get as many pictures of those guys as possible because you never know what you're going to need to write about them. Plus, they always appreciate it if you put them in a gallery. They download them, you know. And to me, that's a culmination of all their work. I want those guys to dress out. We shoot every kid in the dog walk, you know, just so he get a picture of him walking through all the trumpets. So I'm all for it. But I just hate this idea of,
you know, you're on the road. Roddy, you can talk about it. It's not going to happen. That's just – they're going to keep that. But as far as the Clemson game, we don't have a 70 limit. We can take as many as we need to. I've already found that out for us.
There you go.
There's Coach reporting on the fly.
Coach reporting live. I dig it. I dig it.
Here's a – I mentioned NIL earlier. We'll take an NIL question from Jordan Green. Who are some of the under-the-radar guys from the past that would have cleaned up in the name, image, and likeness game? So I guess he's looking for maybe some not superstars that – would have done pretty well had NIL been around in their era.
In general, or Georgia guys?
Everybody you talk about that played here, I mean, I don't know anybody under the radar. I mean, we've talked about Champ Bailey, Aaron Murray, just go through all those guys, Todd Gurley, Green, all those guys, they would have done well. But as far as under the radar, I don't know anybody that steps up to me that had some kind of niche that might have done well.
I always think of the kickers and the punters because Rodrigo Blankenship, and I know he was a star, so he's not under the radar. He would have racked up because of personality. But, you know, the guy that came to mind to me was like, would a Gordon Ely Kelso, or like, would he have made a lot of money in NIL? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, give me Chris Conley. And I don't want to say he's not under the radar. He's kicked, you know, doing well in the NFL. He was one of Georgia's top receivers, but you don't really think of him in the terms of a Hines Ward, you know, Eric Zier type guys like that, you know, just have, you know, Champ Bailey. But with all his, with him making movies, you know, to me, there's a Star Wars franchise endorsement deal there. There's a check from Disney coming somewhere in that kid's future if it was, or in his past, if that was available to him. I think that, you know, some of the guys who had kind of a niche, you think of Big Ben Cleveland, you know, a guy that's just that mammoth. Not even a tackle. You know, this guy's a guard, and you get him out there, and Cabela's is all over him, you know. So he says, look, when I'm out eating squirrel meat, I prefer to use this type shotgun. Well, you know, there's a Boater's World or something like that that steps into his future.
I think hypotheticals are okay, but I mean, I tell you one thing that I hadn't thought about on this NIL that three different coaches that I know have told me that they're doing is they're meeting with the prominent guys in their program. I'm talking about the haves, not the have-nots, the big dollar guys, and they're saying, we got to have a package that we can present to this recruit that when he graduates, that we're going to have this ready for him. That doesn't have anything to do with NIL, you know, as far as, hey, look, we're not going to, you don't have to represent us while you're here. You don't have to do this. But when you get out of school here and you're ready to go to college, go to the pros, we're going to come with this with you for playing here at our school. And boy, I'm telling you, that's pretty enticing. And you know, it'll be legal because it'll be some kind of thing where they say, hey, you represent us to do this. But I mean, you know what I mean? Have you thought about that?
I don't, but it's fascinating idea. It's like, look, when you're done, when you graduate and when you move on,
pros.
Yeah, you're in the pros, and now you've got this endorsement deal lined up. hey, I'm a former Georgia player and I believe in you should buy X. Yeah. Right. But I mean,
I hadn't thought about it from the standpoint of future. Like, we're going to tell you that this is what we're going to have when you know, of course,
it's
in the mail. But when, you know, we can't make this available to you while it's here because realistically, it's not. You know, we don't have anything to endorse. I mean, we just got money.
Yeah.
but we're going to give you something to endorse, or we're going to start something in your name or whatever it might be. And after he gets out, it doesn't matter anyhow. I mean, you can give him whatever you want to.
Yeah. You know, one thing we are seeing with the NIL stuff is that the players, especially the ones that'll be in the draft next year, whatever agency that they'll be using then, they're already using now and just claiming that it's for the NIL brokerage, I guess. I mean, we saw Roc Nation, I think, sign Jamari Salyer. I think that's right. And so he's using them for his NIL stuff. But obviously that relationship will be there, that when he in January is ready to begin the NFL draft process, that he's already got his agent lined up.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a hard line there, almost like between, you know, news and editorial, where you don't cross. So they can represent you in this NIL stuff. They're not allowed to be your agent, wink, wink. And they can't even talk to you about being an agent until you're, you know, in a eligible situation to hire one. But yeah, to me, this whole NIL thing, a lot of people working in it, but I definitely see a huge crossover, like you mentioned, Dane. These agents are going to be working through NIL. And honestly, they have the best experience, in my opinion, for having gotten endorsements for their guys. They know what they're doing.
One thing that I would say about NIL, and today's August the 3rd, right? It's like 32 days into it. Really, I mean, except you read about it, but it hasn't been an issue to this point where, you know, anything. I mean, you read about the Alabama guy, but and the kid from Texas going to Ohio State and reclassifying, going in as a freshman now, that you know, because he thinks he can make money and he couldn't make it in high school. But overall, I don't think it's been a real issue with the teams. I mean, I don't see a lot of clamoring around. Hey, he's got this, I don't have that. But of course, I'm not involved with it like you guys are. But I mean, just publicly, it hadn't looked like it's a real issue to me.
I did laugh when James Cook and Keely Ringo got Bojangles. And I mean, come on, Bo Nix for Bojangles, that would have been the way to go. Just anybody named Bo could do Bojangles, but instead they go for a couple of the Georgia guys. Which
Bo's already got
Milo. Milo's tea, yeah.
But
I don't know if they're competitors in that way.
You got to be on a really championship team to get on Bojangles.
Do you guys want me to put you on the spot here and ask for some of the positions, who the starter was going to be for Clemson, or do we want to save that for another week?
I mean, from my standpoint, I'm not ready to do that because I don't think it's really fair to the kids. I mean, at this point, I just think there's too many things going on out there competition-wise.
We'll save that for game week then. How about that?
I can do that.
At least get a couple weeks into practice. Because, I mean, right now, from what I understand, Coach, aren't they – when the players line up in their 7-on-7 drills and stuff like that, I mean, I know the coaches can be there for a little bit of that, but most of it's player-led. Are the coaches kind of lining them up when they go through their drills, or are the players kind of going off what they did in spring?
Oh, they give them an idea. You know, they can meet with them during the week so many hours.
Right.
Which is very good as far – we've talked about this, about – installation of play. So they'll go over what they want to put in and they'll say, these are going to be the groups we want to use on offense and defense will be that. And they have a script that they go by, you know, plays and balls on the left hash, or we might be red zone today only, or whatever it might be. But, and they'll just tell them how to alternate the different guys in there. And usually for us, and I know most teams, we'll have the an upper class group with the lower class, like the one out there, and then maybe the third group will be with them so they can watch and also learn and run there and then ask questions. And then the twos will be out there, and then anybody else will be, the fours will be with them, so they can learn too. So it's a very good learning process, but I just think we got the thing that also worries me is transfer portal. I mean, boy, we got so many good players that all of a sudden another guy moves ahead, and it's around the country. It's not just here. I mean, the handwriting's on the wall. I mean, you get beaten out by a guy that's two classes below you.
That's a good point.
Too easy to leave. All of us want them to stay, but that worries me. It worries me. Injuries, transfer portal, all that stuff.
I think that's where you might actually see more of that kind of discontentment with NIL, is because let's say you're a junior, or let's say you're a senior, and a freshman comes in, or a sophomore beats you out, like I say, 2 years underneath you, and you see he's getting more and more reps, and you're thinking, wow, this guy's he's probably going to get the job. This is my last chance to make a big splash, so I'm going to go from an Alabama, Clemson, a Georgia to a smaller school that'll be much more excited to have me, and then maybe I can cash in, because if you're getting beat out on your team, you're probably going to get beat out in the NFL. So, and if you're beat out, you're not getting any playing time.
I agree with that, except who in the world is going to get an NIL when you're moved from a school like that to another? They're not, even the guys at those schools aren't getting NILs. I mean, I like everything you said, but I just don't believe the NIL would be the reason to leave.
I'm not saying it's the reason, but I think it factors into it, because they think this is my chance. You know, if I'm going from Alabama to Tulane, maybe if I'm at Tulane, they're excited to have an Alabama guy, and maybe I can get get something out of it. Again, I don't know. Not ripping on Tulane. Love Tulane. Just saying
it could happen. He could get some king cakes down there.
Hey, I'll go somewhere for some king cakes. We'll talk.
I do want to mention that on this YouTube feed or podcast channel, you can check out Georgia Recruiting Rumors versus Facts with Blaine Gilmer and Jed May. That is our recruiting-centric show. It does happen weekly, and plenty of content for them to talk about. In fact, let's chat about it here just for a minute, Roddy. Dylan Bell, wide receiver from Texas, commits to Georgia, and we didn't even discuss Branson Robinson's commitment last week.
Yeah, shame on us for not mentioning Branson Robinson, the number one tailback in the nation, you know, traditional running back, because we also have all-purpose backs. You know, we have two different designations at Rivals. Number one running back in the nation, Branson Robinson, commits to Georgia, a big get for the Bulldogs. This is a guy who is a behemoth. I mean, he's a absolute power lifter. Guy set the Mississippi State record in power lifting for his weight class. Great kid, great to talk to. Jed actually went out to the ceremony. We were the only ones out there in either recruiting services. We were actually out there at his ceremony, had a great interview with Branson Robinson. He is going to be a crowd favorite. Folks love him. And getting Dylan Bell last night was big for Georgia. You need a wide receiver. You need somebody to go with Nylon Morissette, 6'2", receiver out of Texas. You know, people go, well, he's a three-star. He's got 29 other offers. And I do want to make this point about recruiting, because Georgia's going to get some more recruits, some more commits probably this week, or at least in the coming weeks. Some of these guys like, oh, why are they recruiting a three-star? I'm going to throw Rivals a little bit under the bus. Maybe we have them ranked incorrectly. Trust the Georgia coaches. They're not going to take a kid they don't think can provide something for their team. A lot of these guys are being ranked on years where they played fewer games or no games at all. You're ranking them off of sophomore tape, incomplete junior tape, camp tape, stuff like that. Point being, I'm not saying that Rivals, we do a great job of actually going off film and not
I want to say it, Roddy. You want to say it? They didn't rate him high enough.
Maybe they did. But again, a three-star is a great player.
I'm going to say this about Bell. One of the things I always liked in recruiting was to have one of my players that I have here be around the guy and work out with him and know him and everything. A.D. Mitchell is from – and nobody really knew a lot about him when he came in here last year. He was very under the radar, as you say, or Dane says. But this kid has played with him in Little League, worked out with him, done everything. And he's – it's not like, hey, help my friend, give him a scholarship. Hey, he vouches for him. He told him about the kid. He brought him in here. They worked him out. He worked. He looked good, and he's a big physical kid. He can be good on special teams as a midline guy, covering kickoffs, doing all that stuff. You got to have your roster filled out. But this guy is of, you know, everybody's all jacked up about A.D. Mitchell. This guy's got better stats coming out of high school than he did. So I'm glad we got him. And I do feel like this, we have an added advantage here. Todd Monken, along with Hankton. Hankton's a wide receiver, but he's got a really good history of having a lot of good receivers and developing receivers throughout his career, whether it be college or pro. And for him to put his stamp on the guy, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I like that Todd Monken saw a kid, I think it was Cole Spear. He runs a like 4.38 at a different camp and gets a kid, you know, reaches out to the kid. Look, you know, Todd Monken looking for players. If your offensive coordinator and your wide receivers coach want him, then don't get caught up in the rankings there. And again, I always try to explain to people, a three-star means we think you're going to be a damn fine, productive college football player with potential to be all-conference. So I know five stars is a big deal, but five stars so rare, that means we think you are a first-round draft pick. You know how few of those are? There's only 32 guys per class. And I think we put too many guys in that, at least at certain positions, in that first-round stratosphere because they're not all going to go in that first round. But four-star is we think you – potentially be all conference and all American. So if you're a three-star guy, that's get it. But I guarantee you, Georgia's not going to take a kid that they don't think is going to help their program. So
you know which coaches care about stars that way, Roddy? It's the coaches that need the PR move to show their fans they have talent coming to campus. Kirby yeah. Smart doesn't need that anymore. That track record.
I mean, it's working against him right now. He's had three number one classes and all these other schools just going, why would you go there? Look at all the five stars they got. Look at all the four stars they got. And that's hurting. So you have a situation where you can say Kirby doesn't need to ring up another recruiting title. He needs to ring up a title. So he's going to bring in guys that are going to do it. And, again, you had those guys come in and they camp, they work out. And if Todd Monken and Kirby Smart and Cortez Hankton are running this kid through drills and they go, we're going to use one of our scholarships on him, I'm not going to second. Hey, it's Kirby's job.
I mean, it's like the Alabama thing now where it's like, oh, Alabama took that kid. He must be really good. Well, yeah, if Georgia's trying to take that kid, he's really good. I mean, things don't always work out for everybody, but right. Georgia's not taking scrubs these days.
No.
It's too competitive.
But, again, I'm just telling folks, the rankings are – we're going to have some kids overranked. We're going to have some kids underranked. Everybody in the industry is because we're doing it on incomplete data. And you're going to see huge shifts as we get to watch a guy this coming year. And we're like, wow, we were really way too high on that kid and we're going to move him down. And people will be like, why'd you drop him? Oh, he was committed to Florida. You did that because you hate Florida or Georgia. Or we had a guy and we move him way up. They're like, oh, you fell in love with this kid because he committed to Georgia, committed to Alabama, or committed to Tennessee. No, trust me, our guys that do all the rankings, they don't give a damn where the kids go because it doesn't matter. If it were based on the fan bases, every kid that goes to Texas would be a five-star because Texas is our biggest site. And we would shade each kid that's going to Texas as being the best if we're trying to make the fans happy. Now, our analysts, what they want to do is say, I picked this kid to be a five-star. He won the first round. Correct. I picked this kid to be a four-star. He got drafted. Correct. That's how they grade themselves. So if you can get the – watch the rankings because a lot of them are going to go up and a lot of them are going to go down as we get this extra year of football and more data. More data, the better the accuracy of the rankings.
Hey, guys, when we talk next week, we have practice reports to talk about. I mean, we've got football coming, guys.
I also want to mention you talked about the recruiting show. Normally we do that, Jed and Blaine do that on Monday at 8:15, but we had a little travel issue last night. Plus, you know, Dylan Bell was committing at 8 o'clock, and I didn't want those guys to had other stuff for them to do. We moved the show to Wednesday at 8:15, so you folks will be able to watch that show tomorrow. They'll talk a lot more about recruiting. But, Dane, you're right. I mean, next Tuesday we'll have had – how many practices will they have by then? They'll practice Friday, Saturday. Do you think they practice Sunday, Coach?
Well, you got to take a day off. I don't know if they'll take Sunday off or, you know, every 7 days you have to take one day off. So I'm not sure which day they'll be, but more than likely Sunday. But
they'll be getting into pads about the same time we come back next week. So
yeah, they'll be after it.
Yeah, I love it. All right, guys, do want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. Big shout out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, and Academia Brewing Company for being sponsors of our show. We have a couple other sponsors we're looking at, so we might even have some more fun on next week's show. But anyway, we will talk to you then about actual football practice at the University of Georgia. Until then, take care.